of your door. See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
exposes himself to the Lord right now,
and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was changed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? Some of you have heard me say it before, but I don't mind saying it again. I'm not a pastor because I didn't have other things to do. Are you with me? People that know me from the university know that I was quite a smart kid, though. When I mean smart kid, my head was correct. Let me tell you, let me give you something to understand what I'm trying to say. So, my last results in the university, my last GPA was 4.95. In mechanical engineering. Do you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
I have never stayed 3 months in my life without a job. Like, I have never, it has never happened that for 3 months at a stretch, I didn't have work I was doing. When I mean work, I mean engineering related work. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
I'm a pastor because I stumbled on something. I stumbled on the glory of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you.
Hallelujah.
I was telling our chief protocol. I was telling him, if you close New Breed, tell everybody to scatter and carry me and throw to another city. What I found in Christ, I will start preaching about it. People will gather again.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
There's something about Jesus that you need to get. You need to be immersed into the knowledge of him. I know, Pastor. You don't know my challenge. I know you may be going through whatever. Money. School fees, marriage, children, car, business. Do you know who we are really dealing with here? When the Bible says, I am the God of all flesh, is there anything too hard for me to do? Jeremiah 32:27. Is there anything too hard for me to do? So, the next question somebody may want to ask is, okay, why do you delay in doing it now? Do it. If it's not too hard, do it. who can relate to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
If it's too hard, if it's not too hard, just do it. It is because God is interested in something else. He's not just interested in doing things for people. God has a bigger plan. He wants you to manifest his image. And if he gets you comfortable in just getting things, you will never see the importance of that. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You will never see. Let me tell you, some people, you know what made them serious with God? It is their problem. Before I go on, I want to give an example. I want to be sure you can relate. If you have watched the movie Doctor Strange, let me see your hand. Wow. The hands are so low. God, I hope I'm not just pastoring Paco children. No Ajay Bota here. So, the story of Doctor Strange goes thus. He was a very intelligent doctor, very smart doctor. In fact, one of the best, such that his hands were so prolific. There were surgeries that he should have done with some machines, but he will use his hand. If you watch the movie, you know what I'm talking about, right? He used his hand to do it. And he was not just intelligent, he was very proud. Very, very proud. And so, he was going for a dinner where he will be given an award as one of the best neurosurgeons and all of that. And he was driving and looking at his tablet. They were showing him some cases. They said, okay, Dr. Strange, his name was Dr. Stephen Strange. Dr. Stephen, can you work on this case? He said, no, that case is beneath me. Can you work on this case? That case is beneath me. Can you work on this case? He says, no, I don't have time for that. 100 other doctors can do it. Give me something that only me can do. And he was just checking the cases. And while doing that and driving on a high speed, he hit something and had a bad accident. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And the accident destroyed his hands. But then he was introduced to some sort of temple called Kamatat. Wait, I'm preaching to your strange church. God forbid. But I want you to just get my point. And so when he got there, they told him he has two choices. He can either settle for his healing, the healing of his hands, or he can decide to become a master supreme. And so, when he was talking to the leader said, the real point is we'll take people who are broken, fix them, and give them a greater assignment. I don't know how people watch films, but me, when I saw that, I stopped and started speaking in tongues. Are you with me? So they told him, you can settle for just what you can get and go. But the real point is to partner with the same, let's come back to the Lord. Amen. Leave Dr. Strange alone. So when you come to God, you can settle for just things. Are you with me? And sometimes when it looks like God is delaying to give you some things, he's trying to bring you well enough inside so that you will not just get something, but you will become a partner with him.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You will not just get a thing, but you will now become a distributor of things.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And that's also a bait of Satan. You know, it was the devil that told Jesus, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones to bread. You see, when the summary of your Christian experience is all you can get from God, you are at the level of the devil. It's all about what you can get. However, there is a higher place, and that's what Christianity is about. It's not just about getting things, but coming into the higher place where you participate with God. Let me tell you, when you come into the higher place, you are not trying to survive. You are not trying to get things. You are not trying to. You've gone beyond. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Please, I want your feedback. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And that's what I'm trying to bring you into. I didn't set out like, oh, Kai, Nigeria is not working. I want to be a pastor. No, that's not what happened, though. That's not what happened. At least for me, that's not what happened. I latched onto something in secondary school. What happened? Someone was trying to preach to me. And before then, I didn't even like to even hear about God. My father was a pastor. He was killed. Many of you don't know, but my dad was killed by Muslim bandits. Yes. In the same Oyo state that they went to kidnap those people. That was when my dad was killed. By the way. And so I didn't want to hear about God at all. Don't just preach Jesus to me. Just day your day. So when my family moved down to Port Harcourt, many people tried to preach to me. But, and then one day, after someone preached to me, I can't even remember the person's name very well. It just settled on me that, what if this thing is really true and you are the one deceiving yourself? The joke is on you. So a friend of mine gave me a Bible. So, that was her name. She gave me a Bible. A blue King James Bible, very small. And there, I was. 2005 ending into 2006, I said, God, if I study this Bible and commit my life to this Bible and nothing changes after 5 years, I will wash my hands of Christianity and be an atheist. Well, that's the journey that has brought me here. I found out that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Are you with me? He is a rewarder. I read the Bible to the point, I discovered just by reading the Bible, I felt convicted of my sin and went out for water call. I read the Bible to the point where all the pornographic thoughts, all the sexual struggles, I didn't even know when he left me. I said, after, what's happening to me? I'm changing. Oh, I just knew I'm changing. This was just 3 to 6 months of reading the Bible every day. I read the Bible, I started hearing God. God will talk to me. It will happen. I said, I have stumbled on something. By the time I resumed in SS1, my classmates knew something has changed. After exams, I don't know how secondary schools are, but those days, secondary schools just pack students be playing and all of that. After exams, I just packed everybody. I said, I want to preach to you. The guy that was trying to preach to me said, you. Okay, let's hear. When I was done preaching, he gave his life to Christ. And I told them, how many of you have received the Holy Ghost and you pray in tongues? They were all looking at me like this. This one come out. I prayed for the first person. That one fell. Now, before then, I don't even fall. In fact, when they prayed for me to speak in tongues, I spoke in tongues because the man would not leave my head. I said, if I don't pray out these tongues that I feel like I'm supposed to say, maybe. But then, the first person, the second person, by the third person, a demon spirit spoke out and said, we watch you every night. Your prayers are disturbing us. And how long was I praying? 15 minutes every day. Just 15 minutes. I will wake up in the night, pray from 12 to 15, and I feel like I prayed for 42 hours. 15 minutes of prayer was disturbing the devil. It was disturbing the devil so much that my classmates that had a demon spirit noticed. What are you doing with your life? After a while, I now discovered my mind became sharper. From being, do you know that I was struggling so much academically that there was a day, I can never forget that man's name. God forgive him wherever he is. Mr. Obeten, my economics teacher in my SS1, brought me out and said, this is an NFA. He has no future ambition. The way he failed, I so failed his assignment. You know when they draw zero and put nose and mouth and eye. Only Nigerian, our international audience, sorry, you may not relate to what we are saying. Nigerian students, I read the Bible, my mind became sharp. The things I was struggling to understand, when I went back to read it, it was as if, bah! By the time I finished from secondary school, I was the best, ask anybody that finished from secondary school, I was the best graduating student. See, I'm telling you what happened. It was by the time I was leaving the secondary school, and I knew I'd stumbled on, so I knew I'd got something. My mom then was telling me, what will you study? Will you study engineering? Will you study medicine? I didn't even know when I told her, no matter what I study, I'm a success. When she heard it, she looked at me like this. Ah, okay. I walked away. Before she will call me, the morning devotion, we must pray. Man, wake up, stop sleeping, all of you pray. And when she starts the prayer, she'll switch the tongues, I'll be angry. What is this? A time now came, she will come and meet me in the night. I'll be praying from night till morning. One night she stopped me and said, sit down. So what's the problem? She said, there's food in the kitchen. Is it food? Our house rent has been paid. Your school fees has been paid. What are you praying about? You have been praying every night for the past 1 week. What is it? I said, God has shown me something to pray about. And I am seeking God about that thing. Ha! She left me and never disturbed me again. A time now came. She was the one called me, said, can I join you and pray? Yes. From trying to force me to pray, she began to join me to pray. Till so now you say, please pray for me. Okay. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I got something. Tell somebody, I've got something. So what I do in my life as a secret, when I come to a point where it seems like I don't really understand what's happening, I will go back to the old rock and go there. So see what I did? I will worship. Oh, I will pray and worship and pray and worship. I will cry before the Lord, pray, open my Bible, because that's where it all began from. I will go back there. I will go back to the altar. And from there, the next phase will open up. From there, I will know what to do. Are you with me? That has been my... That, when I got to Covenant University, that was what happened. In fact, the 1 year I stayed at home, I could not go to university. I was at home for 1 year. I could not go to any school. My mom said it's very well. God will help us. And while I was at home, I knew my old altar. Every day. In that way, in that position, I was writing jumbo, applying to schools. In fact, I was doing private lesson too. I was teaching people all kinds of things to raise money. Let me tell you something. I don't think there's any struggle anybody wants to relate with me that I cannot relate. There's nothing you want to tell me. I've slept in an uncompleted building before. I've slept overnight in a house without roof. I've slept on the road before. There's nothing you want to tell me. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
I can relate. But well... But do you know what the devil will do? He will distract you. He will do everything to distract you. Do everything to distract you. That you will... Why is it that? Have you ever thought about it? A movie, a basic movie is average 2 hours. And 2 hours comes and goes and you don't feel it. But a 5 minutes prayer meeting. You need to understand, that's Satan at work. Playing on your emotions. Playing on your feelings. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes, I know I have teachings to do, but I feel like I should just talk to you.
Yes,
just talk to you.
Yes,
are you with me?
Yes,
because if I don't prepare your heart like that, some of the things I'm saying, you may think, you don't want to preach long preaching, long Bible. By the grace of God, check all our senior pastors. Everybody who has followed me for the past 7 years, their lives have, when I say changed, complete. When I say complete.
Hooray.
You can go to Port Harcourt, Pastor Wisdom. Pastor, go to Lagos, Pastor Jessica. Go to Lekki, Pastor Ernie. Pastor Ekene, all out. Check, go and check what their lives look like. Complete. It does not fail.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's see how fast we can be. The goal of today's service is to bring everyone to a point where we are all filled with the Holy Ghost and we can pray in tongues. So, let me do a rough scan. You can pray in the Spirit. You can pray in tongues here. Raise your hand. Okay, so we have few people who cannot. Now, I want to be sure. Have you been following what I've been teaching on this subject thus far? Please help me. Move this. If you have been following what we've taught on this subject thus far, let me see your hand. You've been following it. Here we. My God. Okay. We'll just flow. Even if I don't teach again, I believe some of you have gotten a message, right? You've gotten a message, right? So thus far, we have been asking and answering questions on the subject of speaking in tongues. And we've answered and asked and answered what is speaking in tongues, why is speaking in tongues necessary. We've addressed the misconceptions people have about tongues. Some people say tongues is blasphemy. We corrected it. Some people say speaking in tongues can give you an evil spirit. We corrected it from the Bible. Speaking in tongues is not for everyone. We corrected it from the Bible. Speaking in tongues is speaking in other human languages. We corrected it from the Bible. What exactly happened in Acts chapter 2? We corrected it from the Bible. You know, even in Acts chapter 2, there was something that I did not point out last week. Do you realize that if speaking in tongues was human languages, what is wrong about people speaking in human languages that the people that observed the apostles said they were drunk? What is drunk about somebody speaking Hausa, Ibibio, or Yoruba? Media, you can help me put out that text in Acts chapter 2. What is drunk about someone speaking in his native dialect?
Yes, sir.
Where they said they were full of new wine. There's more to the Acts chapter 2 experience. Are you with me? And I tried to explain it last week. However, let's go what we have it for today. And I encourage you to go back to those teachings. So, before I go on, I want to emphasize some of the blessings of speaking in tongues. Before I go into how to speak in tongues, some of the blessings of speaking in tongues. Number one, it will produce deeper intimacy with God. Deeper intimacy with God in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, every demonic force is cleared. Amen. Your people understand. Amen. Your people understand.
Amen.
I want to hear a louder amen.
Amen.
Deeper intimacy with God in prayer. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. The Bible says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." So he's telling you that speaking in tongues is a coded, encrypted call line that you have between you and God. That you can pray to God and speak to God about things that you cannot share to any man. For instance, if we tell everybody, pray and pour out your hearts to God about everything you are going through, some people cannot say it out loud because you are standing here. "Oh God, I fell for the sin of fornication last week. I want you to cleanse me. Satan, you cannot attack me because of my sin." The person that is praying with us says, "Jesus." But when you are praying in the spirit, you can communicate, and the Holy Ghost knows what you are trying to say. Are you with me? Sometimes there are even prayers you don't even have the words to say. Romans 8 verse 26, "For we know not to how to pray as we ought." There are things you want to say. Let me tell you something. If you have lived long enough, you will know that there are times when your heart is trying to say something that your mouth cannot even carry. You don't even have words to explain how you are feeling. When somebody says, "I don't even understand what is happening to me. What is the problem? I don't know. But are you okay? I'm not." Are you with me? Deeper intimacy with God. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 14. It says, "If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth." Tell me, "My spirit prayeth." So you can get your spirit to pray. And you see here, because you are born again and you are alive to the Holy Spirit, when you pray this way, you are activating the Holy Ghost to pray within you. You know that very powerful text of the Bible, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 17. It says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So, if you are one spirit with the Lord, when you pray in tongues, and the Bible says, my spirit prayeth, it means you are also causing the Holy Ghost to pray within you. Are you with me? So, when I pray in an unknown tongue, the Holy Ghost within me prayeth. And then he told you, but my understanding is unfruitful. People say, how will I pray in something I don't understand? The Bible gave you a heads up that you will not understand what you are saying.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So, let me even just say it here. Praying in tongues is the same thing as praying in the spirit. Can you say after me, praying in tongues,
praying in tongues is
the same thing as praying in the spirit.
Glory.
Number two, so the first blessing of speaking in tongues that I listed there is deeper intimacy with God in prayer. Number two, spiritual edification. Say after me, spiritual edification. Some of you are not talking. All of us here, say spiritual edification.
Spiritual edification.
The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Edifieth himself. What does it mean to edify something? Have you ever heard of that word edifice before? Have you heard of that word edifice before? What's an edifice?
Structure.
A structure. What kind of structure can be called an edifice?
A building.
What kind of building can be called an edifice? A solid building, a magnificent building, right?
Yes,
a flamboyant building, a well-decorated building, a magnanimous building.
Yes,
say, yeah, that guy built an edifice in his village. I thought somebody would say amen. He built an edifice. So when the Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, he builds himself. He improves himself. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He beautifies himself. He makes himself solid.
Hallelujah.
So, some translations, the Weyman translation says, he doeth himself good. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
He strengthens himself. He charges himself. He charges himself. To corroborate that, look at Jude chapter 1 verse 20. The Bible says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I want to ask you, do you want to build up yourself?
Yes, sir.
I want some response. Do you want to build up yourself?
Yes, sir.
He's telling you, you can do this. By praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, for more context to Jude chapter 1 verse 20, look at it from verse 17. Look at it from verse 17. Thank you, Jesus. Read with me. 1, 2, 3, go. But ye, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18. How that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Verse 19. These be they who separate themselves sensual. Now pay attention. Read it again with a loud voice. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the spirit. So he's talking about a group of people in the last days who will be sensual people. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Who will be given to ungodly lusts? Who will be people given to ungodliness? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And then he says, but ye beloved.
Yes, sir.
The reason for that but is in comparison to the first class of people. He's saying that the way you will make yourself different from such people is, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So, this is not just a teaching in building yourself spiritually. It's also a teaching in sanctification.
Yes,
now, if you want to be separated from the lust and the widespread carnality in these last days. Build up yourself on your most holy faith. Amen.
Amen.
Are you with me? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say after me, I will build up myself, on my most holy faith.
Praying in the Holy Ghost.
Glory.
Glory.
So it's spiritual edification. I would have talked about, you know what, let me just flow. Isaiah 28 verse 11 to 12. So number 3 is spiritual refreshing. When you pray in the spirit, you can access spiritual refreshing. Isaiah 28 from verse 11 to 12, the prophet is describing speaking in tongues in a dramatic way. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to these people." So the prophet saw something like this. And I guess he was asking God, "What is that?" And God said, "For with stammering lips and another tongue I will speak to these people." To whom he said, "This is the rest, wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing." So he's saying that in this practice that you are seeing, a time is coming that my people will use this to step into rest, step into refreshing. People that pray in tongues, have you prayed in tongues for long and you felt different? This is the rest. Of course, there is more to this prophetic writing here, but on the surface, that's what you get. Are you following me? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Spiritual refreshing. In verse 12, he says that he may cause the weary to rest. Remember midweek service? That we said one of the signs of spiritual sickness, that a person is not healthy spiritually, is that he will be weary. He will be feeling restless. One of the ways to correct that is by praying in tongues. Has your laptop before giving you problem and then they tell you refresh it? Have you been trying to log on a site and it's not working well? It seems like it's all muddled up. They tell you refresh it. That's the same way when you feel like life is beginning to get muddled up, go for some refreshing. Refresh. Hit the refresh button. When it seems like your mind is clouded, hit the refresh button. Pray in the spirit. Amen. Also, speaking in tongues is a doorway to the supernatural. See, when Jesus says in Mark 16 from verse 17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues." As it were, he seemed like he was given the first levels of spiritual manifestations of those who believe in him. As it were, it was a door into other things. Are you with me?
Yes,
Jesus Christ, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Am I too fast? Please answer me. Am I too fast?
No, sir.
Speaking in tongues is a door to the supernatural. Those of you that pray in tongues, have you been praying in tongues? You start remembering some people.
Yes,
remembering things. Ideas start coming. Don't play with those things. And in fact, you know what? What I was trying to say, that I said, in fact, there are deeper levels of prayer that you will not enter until you begin to pray in tongues. And I'm not talking about praying in tongues where your mind, you are just distracted, you are praying in tongues and you are replying Instagram. You are very stupid, though. I want to read a story to you from this book. This is one of Kenneth Hagin's last books before he died. It's called Tongues, The Upper Room. I can't count how many times I've read this book. And the last, one of the final chapters, he called it Pressing into New Depths of Prayer. He even made a prayer at the ending where he said, "God, forgive us, for we have not given time enough to prayer." He was just saying, "God, forgive us. Jesus, have mercy on us." But he says here, God is calling us to a deeper realm of prayer in these last days. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God so that we can yield to him. He wants to tell a story now. a life spared through somebody's obedience to pray. I remember an outstanding example of this that happened to Brother and Sister Goodwin during the World War II. At the time, they were pastors of an East Texas Pentecostal church. One Sunday night, after Brother Godwin had gone to sleep, Sister Godwin had a strong burden to pray. She tried to disturb her husband as she prayed. She tried not to disturb her husband as she prayed in tongues, in deep groanings. But her groanings became so loud that she woke him. When Brother Goodwin woke up and heard his wife groaning, he thought at first that she was sick. "What's the matter?" he asked her. He said, "I have a burden to pray. Some of our church folks are in danger. Who is it? I don't know." She said, "But someone's life is in danger." The Goodwins tried to think of who it might be, but all they could come up with were four families from church who were on vacation, driving all night to get back home. So they prayed and claimed divine protection for the families. Then Brother Goodwin fell back to sleep. But Sister Goodwin tried to go to sleep as well, but that burden to pray was still there. She started praying once more in tongues and deep groanings. She finally woke Brother Goodwin up again. Sister Goodwin told her husband, "That wasn't it. It was somebody else in our congregation. She just had a spiritual discernment that someone's life was in danger who attended their church." So the Goodwins prayed together and received some sense of relief in their spirit. Brother Goodwin went back to sleep. The guy is always going back to sleep. But she couldn't shake the burden to pray. She started praying in tongues and groaning again. And after a while, she once more awakened her husband. This time he said, "Well, let's just get out of the bed and pray." As the Goodwins prayed together in tongues, Sister Goodwin couldn't seem to get relief from that sense of heaviness in her spirit. Finally, Brother Goodwin said, "Let's just pray in agreement that the Lord will give the person, whoever it is, now pay attention, a dream or a vision that shows him the danger that's ahead." So the Goodwins are going in prayer and prayed in the spirit a while longer. By the time they finally got back to bed, it was 4 o'clock in the morning. Consequently, they were sleeping later that morning when the phone rang. It was one of the men in their church. He had quite a story to tell. This man worked in the oil fields as a member of a gang of roughnecks. The name for workers employed in the oil well those days. That morning, when he showed up at work, the gang pusher, his foreman, told him that Bill, the man who worked in the drilling tower, hadn't shown up that morning. The gang pusher said to the Goodwins, to the Goodwins Sunday school superintendent, "That's the man they were praying for.
Yes, sir.
You will do the tower today." The man climbed up the ladder to the tower, but after climbing up the 14th rung, he reversed direction and climbed back down. On the ground, the man told the gang pusher, "I'm not going to do it." "Why not?" the gang pusher asked. "Well, I will tell you. I had a dream at 4 o'clock this morning. I know the time the dream woke me up, and I went to the kitchen to drink water and looked at the clock. In the dream, Bill didn't show up. I climbed up there to walk that tower. Then all of a sudden, a huge cable broke and cut off my head. I actually saw my head fall down to the ground in the dream. So I'm not going to climb up there today." Now, pay attention to this. Another worker on the gang was also present. He was a Christian man and a member of a nearby denominational church. This man laughed and said, "I'm not so superstitious. I will do it." So the gang pusher agreed. The man climbed up the ladder to the drilling tower. The gang started working, pulling one of the massive drill rig ropes out of the ground. But the man hadn't been up the tower for more than 10 minutes when a huge cable broke off and cut off his head, just as the Pentecostal man has seen in his dream. You might ask, "But the man who died was a Christian. Why didn't the Lord warn him to?" Remember, dear friend, that when you get over into this realm of prayer through speaking in tongues, you are in a different and deeper dimension of prayer. In this realm, you can pray out a matter you don't know how to pray for as you ought, for the Holy Ghost helps you pray it through. The church where the denominational man attended believed in prayer, but their way of praying went something like, "Lord, help those who need help and bless those who need blessing. Do what you can, Lord." Amen. Amen. Are you what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
On the other hand, those who pray in other tongues can speak supernaturally to God and thus pray out those things that need to be prayed for. The Holy Ghost knows the will of God and helps believers pray to God's will so that his plans and purposes can be brought forth on this earth.
Yes, sir.
That's what happened as Sister Goodwin prayed that night for someone in her church whose life was in danger. She didn't know what situation was or who was involved, but the Holy Ghost knew. And he helped Sister Goodwin pray out the situation on behalf of her church member. This is why we are emphasizing this thing. If they like, let them criticize me from now till next year. All these tongues, we will pray in tongues. We will pray in tongues. We will pray in tongues. I'm telling you, you don't even know. How will you pray for what you don't even know? Some of us, some people are still playing church. This is the reason why we are serious about what we do. Call people to come. We know what is happening. When I look at people's lives, when I hear the way people's lives go, sometimes I feel, I wish I knew you earlier. I wish you allowed me to disciple you earlier. You would have been different. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
We will pray in the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, a pastor was sharing a testimony. His church, they were trusting God for 900,000 to pay for their rent. 900,000. And that 900,000 was so big. So big. It felt like if they shake all of them, gather all of them, shake them, press them, shaking together, running over. 457 will not come out. Not to talk about 900. So they gathered and began to pray in tongues for 17 hours every day. You hear what I just said? When I heard this testimony, I say, oh God, 17 hours they were your and you see, the reason why praying in tongues is important is because you can be asking God for this, and the reason why God is actually not giving you this is because he wants to give you this. And so the landlord had chased them out. And so they had like just few weeks to raise that 900,000 unless nowhere for church. And so they were like, God, give us this 900,000. After a while, they said, let's leave that. Lord, give us, let's be praying in the spirit. They prayed in the spirit. And so one of their final services before they left the place, somebody came to church. And now, the way the person dressed, you know those kind of people that, the way they dress, this one is now transport. After service, you say, please, pastor. You know, there are people that come to church and they genuinely need help. You know, there are people that they don't come to church, they just come for transport. When the church is about to close, they will time it. That was the time the guy entered the service. So when the guy entered the service looking that tattered, they felt the pastor was in his mind was like, ah, this guy will ask me for transport. I will just tell the protocol. That's why, as a leader, as a Christian, don't look down on people. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If you know me closely, I don't look down on anybody. Well, after the service, this guy walks up to the pastor and said, God sent me here. I'm supposed to do something for this church. He was like, okay. What do you need? The guy just clearly said, we need 900,000. But at the point, he's like, why would I be telling this man that he's dressed like this? So let me just talk. He told him, we need 900,000 for our rent. He said, no, I don't think that's what God sent me here for. I think with what I felt when God told me to come to your church, I think you will need a land. The man said, sir, how much do you want to give us? Just tell us, we'll know how we'll manage ourselves. The man said, that's not what God sent me here for. Whatever people want, just in the space of 2 months, they had spent 150 million from looking for 900,000, and it was still running. Man said, what God sent me here. There are certain things that, as long as you pray in understanding, you will never see. If you want to see strange things, start praying in a strange way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There are some testimonies in New Breed I can't share. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So quickly. See, let me just give you this one as a bonus. If you have lived your life from the day you were born till now, and nothing strangely positive has happened in your life, you've not prayed in tongues long enough. Where everything is all, it can be explained to your natural mind, like this, I know this. Are you with me? You have not stayed long in the realm of the invisible long enough. When you stay long in that place, there should be things happening that this thing cannot be explained. Explain it naturally, you can't explain it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, I want to answer one more question and then conclude on this whole tongues matter. Why do people still struggle with tongues? Have you ever heard people say things like, it's not like I don't believe, but I've gone to a place where every time we go to pray in tongues, they will pray for me, but I will not speak. Have you seen me like that before?
Yes.
Say, they will pray for me, I will not speak. They will pray for me, I will not speak. This tongues thing itself, is it really for me? Or some say, please, I don't even just want to hear. I know that some denominations and some teachings can actually block your mind. I'm telling you, but just read the Bible. Read the Bible. Even a careless reader, everywhere people spoke in tongues in the Bible, it was everybody. So Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19. But then, why do people still struggle? The major reason for a struggle is a lack of strong hunger. Say after me, a lack of strong hunger. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
If your neighbor is sleeping, tell him to wake up now. A lack of hunger. A lack of strong hunger. You see, there are two sets of people that Jesus marveled at in the New Testament. There were people that he marveled at their doubts, and there are those he marveled at their faith. Marvelous doubts. In Mark chapter 6, the Bible says he came to his hometown to preach. And when he was preaching, at some point they said, is this not Jesus, the son of the carpenter? Ah, is this not the son of Joseph and the son of Mary? We know them now. The Bible says, and they were offended at him. Now look at verse 5. The Bible says, he could not do any mighty work. Save he laid hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So, he was present to lay hands. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But he was limited. This is Jesus. This is Jesus. He could not do any mighty work because of their unbelief. Now see verse 6. Verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. He marveled. There was a marvelous doubt. He marveled. And so in trying to cure the doubt, he went about teaching. Are you with me? So there was plenty teaching because he was trying to cure the doubt. But if you go over to Matthew chapter 8, you will see something else. From verse 6, Jesus was going somewhere and a Roman centurion came and met him and said, Master, my servant is at home and is sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus now said, I will come and pray for her. I will come and lay my hands and heal him. And in verse 8, the centurion said, what do you mean you are coming to my house to pray? I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word only. Speak the word. Don't come. So, he was willing to come and lay hands. But the man said, I believe you too much. You don't need to lay hands. Just talk. He says, me, I am a man of the authority. I'm a Roman centurion. Actually, Roman centurion, you know that word centurion? That's old English for 100. He had like 100 soldiers under him. Are you with me? I have soldiers under me. I will tell one, go, and he goes. Come, and he comes. What do you mean? That means if you are a man of power, just speak.
Aye.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And he spoke. He, first of all, before Jesus even spoke, in verse 10, Jesus said, he marveled. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. This was marvelous faith versus marvelous doubt.
Yes,
are you with me? And when you read on, the Bible says, when Jesus spoke, he was, the servant was cured that same hour.
Glory.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You have to go down. Verse 13. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. What does this have to do with tongues? Everything. See, when it comes to a teaching on tongues or anything of the spirit, whether miracles, whether you are believing God for a healing, whether you are, when it comes to the things of the spirit, tongues, and all of that, even the best of explanations, if you have a marvelous doubt, it will cancel out defeat. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Even the best explanation still requires hunger. Even the best of teaching still requires a strong desire. I've been ministering for a while, though. I discovered something. You see the generation? There is an attack on our faith. There is an attack on social media. They are dragging pastors every day. There is an attack on the supernatural generation. I found out that when I minister to the older generation, when I started preaching, we used to have people who were more elderly. I didn't preach. I didn't explain too much for them to pray in tongues. So there were people that I was still teaching this. While the teaching was still going on, they were praying. They just, they took it. I also noticed something. When I went to the villages to preach, when I went for what they call rural rugged in NYSC, when I went into the interior villages that were not so exposed, it was fast. Miracles, I was seeing blind eyes open. Pa! Deaf ears, pa! Ministering the spirit, once they'll pray in tongues. When you come to the city where there's marvelous doubt, but yours is different in Jesus' name. If your doubt is strong enough, it will still excuse you from the best of arguments. Are you with me?
Yes,
it will still quench the flow. James chapter 4 verse 8, the Bible says, draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to thee. Do you know what that means? It will begin with your hunger. He did not say God draw nigh to you and then you draw nigh to him. He says you will draw nigh to God and then God will see your drawing and draw nigh to you. So I've done this example before. Come. I don't know how the camera will be able to capture the two of us. So stay where you are. When I take one step, you take one step. Let's assume that is you and this is God. Okay. No, you are God. Let's assume that is God and this is you. So, I will take, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to thee. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to thee. It means, you are as close to God as you decide to be. Are you with me? If a person stops here, he will claim that God did not come, but God was moving, but he did not know. God was waiting for him to draw even closer, then he will see God closer. Are you with me? Draw nigh to God. And he will draw nigh to thee. Amen. That means in every true spiritual encounter, you and God will meet halfway. You and God will meet halfway. The parable of the sower makes us know that no matter how good a seed is, the efficacy of the word of God is not on the seed alone. The soil must be good. Spiritual impact is not always about the efficacy of the seed or the word. As valuable as the seed is, it will not grow in your cup. It will not grow on your table. God, Jesus. It must land on a good soil. It must go on the right heart. Are you getting me? Please, are you with me? It must land on a good heart, on a receptive heart. If you put it on by the wayside, it will never grow. If you put it on in the heart that carries thorns, the thorns will choke the word. If you put it on a rocky soil, it will grow. And when the sun comes up, because of no root, it will wither away. So, in all the instances, the seed was good, but the soil was bad. When you hear people talk, you now know the condition of their heart. Okay, you say tongues is not for everybody. Why will you exclude yourself? Let's assume it was not for everybody. And there were only five slots. Why must I not be in the five slots? Why will you excuse yourself? Check the Bible, eh? God has never refused people who press. Yes, sir. The Syrophoenician woman, what happened to her? She said, Master, my son is sick. I want healing. Jesus told her, I am not sent but to the lordship of the house of Israel. She said, no problem. But I still want you to heal my son. Jesus now said, it is not meet to give the children's bread to dogs. That's what Jesus said. Jesus literally called her a dog. If it's on this day, so I went to pray to ask a pastor to pray for me. He called me a dog. You will train there. They will drag you like I passed my Nimbo generator. But Jesus said, no. I will not pray for you. I'm sent only to Israel. Do you know what she told Jesus? Agreed. You give bread only to the children. But dogs, you say I'm a dog, Abby, but at least the dogs used to come out and pick the crumbs. Jesus said, what is this? He said, you know what? I've not seen, that's another place that said, marvelous faith. I've not seen faith like this. Your son be healed. So that means, many times, my God. Some things that are delaying is waiting for you to press more. God may be waiting for a genuine hunger. Say, oh, tongues not for everybody. Why cancel out yourself? Even if it is two slots, I must enter. I must be there. If it's only two people that will speak in tongues in God's kingdom, me, I will number one. Why will you cancel out yourself? That means it's not even a doctrine problem. It's a heart problem. It's a receptiveness problem. You've deadened your heart to the things of the Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, pursue the things of the Spirit, earnestly covet spiritual gifts. It's a biblical instruction. Earnestly. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 31. Covet spiritual gifts. Covet. It says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Desire. Are you with me? Yes, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 31. Covet earnestly. You must display hunger for the things of the Spirit. Yes, you must display hunger. Jesus said in John chapter 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst. If any man thirst. That's the major issue. Speaking in tongues is the easiest thing for those who are hungry. It was Pastor Eni that asked me this question some years ago. He said, why is it that when we pray for people to speak in tongues, you pray for some people before you even reach there? They're already shouting and praying in the Spirit. Some people before you lay hands, lay leg, lay under the shoe, pour oil. Let's say, you're not coming. You're not coming, no. Praise the Lord. See, great faith does not take excuses. Are you with me? You must dare to believe God. And I know we're talking about tongues, but this thing applies to everything. Your work with God. Everything. You want to see great yourself do great things in God. You will learn to step out. Do you think, when we announce that we are doing crusade, do you think it's easy for me? God said it, I don't go. Bah. That's how to walk on water. Jesus, if it is you that is walking, command me to come. Yes, sir. The first time I prayed for a blind person and the eyes opened, people were looking at me. If you don't walk, you don't cast. I will better come out. Let the world shame me. Let me pray. Are you with me? than to be trying to. That's how to see. In the Agege Crusade 2025, we had closed the crusade before I realized that somebody came there deaf. Deaf and dumb. And was living there for... I said, how can we have this crusade? I was not asking. Because God told me that there will be somebody with a deaf and dumb person. So I was asking, where is the deaf? And they said, nobody. Everybody is fine. Like the Gwaringa crusade. Everybody. Then Owen is not here. We have to go and look for that madman. So we pray for you. Prayed for him. The man began to listen to us and talk like a human being. Called the person out. That was when it happened. Guess what? That's in that crusade. The lady came the next day to church. We brought her on the stage. She was still hearing and talking. If you don't step out, you will not see anything. So how do you speak in tongues? Number one, you must be born again. Number two, get your mind out of the way. Get your mind out of the way. Don't say, how will I be saying something I don't understand? The Bible told you, you will not understand. Number three, you are the one to speak. Understand this. Nobody will speak in tongues for you. The Holy Ghost will give you utterance, but you will be the one to speak. Don't think something will just enter your throat and seize your throat. I don't know. It just came over me. See, if it happens like that, it's most likely a demon. So I want to speak English, but my mouth. No. Are you with me? The Bible says in Acts 2 verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. So what is that utterance that the Spirit gives? It is that when you open your mouth in faith and boldness, there is a flow that is not premeditated. That is utterance. Are you with me? So you have control over it. Just like a natural language, you can decide to shut it. You know, still under this, you are the one to speak. Sometimes, some people, they want it to be dramatic. Some people's own will be dramatic. And this is something to also talk about. If God is staring you and you have that dramatic, don't hold yourself back. Yes, somebody told me, I don't like the way I'm feeling when this whole tongue thing. I feel like I'm going to fall and be free. It's better you fall and the works of darkness fall than you stand and you never become a standard.
My God.
Are you with me?
My God.
Yeah, I'm feeling. Allow it to fall. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Also, stop being afraid of going wrong. Say, I don't know. This is my tongue. Now, is it the correct one? My own tongue is just coming out one syllable. Mama, la la la. Okay, somebody else is Rikabala Shata. This is not sounding corrosive. Whether it is monosyllabic, disyllabic, as long as it is tongues and you are praying out what the Holy Ghost is telling with you, it is corrosive to the devil.
Yes,
are you with me?
Yes,
you know, charismatics, we have brought all kinds of things. He said, I want you to pray now in corrosive tongues, not number one. Do you see corrosive tongues in the Bible? See, that tongues is lacking oil. It's lacking oil. There's no oil in that engine. Just pray out. Are you with me? Jump on your feet. So, we are all going to do something. I wish I could take questions, but I want us to pray. I want everyone who has not prayed in tongues to pray. And I want you to take it serious. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. Speaking in tongues is a major secret. This thing we are saying like this. Every great man in the kingdom of God, this kind of prayer is a major secret. Pastor Adeboye said, when he was doing his PhD thesis, and a time came where they had an equation. You know, he had a PhD in mathematics. And he was so confused. He didn't know what to do about it. One day, he began to pray. He said, you know the way we pray? Say, you know the way we pray? I was praying like that. Baba showed me something. He said, plug the equations from here and put it here. And the ones from this side and put it this side. Just the same way I parted the sea, the equation has been solved. It was later when I heard him saying, do you know how long he was praying that in? 21 days. You stay with it. You stay there. 1 hour, 2 hours. You stay there. Let the river flow. Let the river flow. Out of his belly shall flow. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers. Now I want you to do something. Everybody raise your hands and say after me.
Jesus. I want you to say it with a loud voice. Jesus. I believe in you. Jesus. I want you to mean it. I believe you. When you said that this sign shall follow everyone who believes, that in your name they shall speak in tongues. I believe. Therefore, I have the Holy Spirit. And now, right now, I want to hear your voice loud. And now, right now, I am full of your Spirit. Right now, I am full of your Spirit. Don't play. Right now, say, I am full of your Spirit. I am full of your Spirit. From the crown of my head to the tips of my toes, out of my belly flows rivers of living water. I got it. And in the name of Jesus, I put doubt out of the way.